The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
And welcome in, everybody. It's time for another edition of Need to Know. Kip Kiefer with you on TKR. Always a privilege to visit with you each week as we embark on another show. And this one is going to be different. You've caught me at a very unusual point. And an hour from now, and certainly by midweek, I will probably be in a different mode of thinking, but I'm not going to talk about world events today unless they come up in kind of the sequence of the overall topic. It's not going to be specific to that. It's going to actually be based on the fact that today I am absolutely full of, and don't finish that sentence because a lot of people would say something else, but I'm full of perspective and kind of retrospective thoughts today, because I had a most unusual weekend, and I'd really like to tell you all about it. And I hope there are things within this that, let's call this the Forrest Gump edition of Need to Know, because you have no idea what you're going to get. And that's pretty easy to explain, because I have no idea what you're going to get. I'm just going to speak from my heart and from my head on things that are on my mind. And a lot of this was triggered by a direct message I got this morning. I got up and was beginning to assemble my thoughts. There's so many world events and so many things happening here domestically. I have thoughts on a lot of that, but I don't really want to get bogged down in having to be kind of pigeonholed into one sort of approach every week. So this is going to be an interesting experiment, and I hope there are things in here that you can appreciate and glean and need to know. And so let's just get rolling. The message I got this morning was from a young man, a peer of the bride and groom, because this weekend I mentioned a bride and groom. I was asked way back in March by my nephew, Nicholas, who has been my youngest son, Clayton's lifelong best friend. So he's more than just a nephew that I casually see. I watched this kid grow up pretty much all his life. And you could say that in many, many ways, he has been a third son to me. I've talked enough about my other two sons, my real sons, Case and Clay. Case, the sports editor of the Las Vegas Sun out in Nevada, and is off to a tremendous start in his young life with an unbelievable life partner, Tracy, who is one of the major event coordinators in Las Vegas. And they are the glamour power couple out there. They've got a new child, three-year-old King, my grandson. So that doesn't give you some perspective. What else will? And it's a whole different phase of life for me that is really interesting, because I don't consider myself an elder statesman or anybody with extreme wisdom or all of those things. But the message that I received after officiating, because they asked me back in March if I would do them the honor, and the honor was all mine, and I said that from the very start, they asked me and his lovely bride, Megan, they had become engaged, they asked me that on November 4th, their wedding date, if I would consider performing their ceremony. And, you know, I've been asked to do a lot of speaking gigs, a lot of different engagements. This is not a great thing for my resume, but I'm proud of the work I did, because for people to ask me to do this is really meaningful. But I've done by my count, about a dozen, maybe even 13 or 14 eulogies. And that's a high level responsibility because, and now I'm getting all over the board, but I knew this would be the case, so bear with me. I know all of you have been to funerals and final services for the departed, loved ones, friends, family members. And the one thing that I have been consistent since my teenage years, when I first probably had to attend one of these, is I just cannot believe so many of those services are so impersonal. The remarks are made by people that didn't even know the departed, and they base their comments on "I've been told" and "I'm sure that that you know it's like, you know, let's get this over with so we can get on to the buffet." You know, and it really has always bothered me. And I guess I expressed that enough and established enough public speaking abilities that people started to ask me as I got into my 20s and became a little more polished and eloquent, if I would make the final remarks, do the eulogies at their departed's funeral. And I was really popular there for a while because I just did a whole string of them. People would hear me at a service, and I painstakingly, and it was all people that I knew or knew of. And I really took the time and made in a concerted effort to really honor and highlight the portions of the lives these people led and make sure that everybody had the proper frame of mind on who we had lost and all they had contributed. And it was really culminated by my wife's, Kathy at the time, younger sister who was born with Down syndrome, Holly, only 20 years old, but just a miraculous individual, probably the most inspiring person I ever met. When she was born in the mid-60s, her parents, Kathy's parents, my in-laws, who both have passed now, Carol and Janine Blair, were both advised, and she was the sixth child that they had, but born with Down syndrome. They were advised to institutionalize her and let her be cared for by professionals. Well, that's not how that family was built. They brought her home. They treated her like all the rest of their kids. They demanded a lot of her, but they showered her with love and attention and constant effort. And it was one of the most inspiring things I've ever seen. At the age of 18, attending Holly's high school graduation, it was absolutely a phenomenal experience to see how far she had come when she was basically given up for a hopeless case at birth. The family's effort, all of them, the parents, her five siblings, they transformed Holly into the most loving, accomplished, determined individual you've ever met. She actually won Special Olympic international gold medals in two different events. She first won in gymnastics as about a 15-year-old, and then trained painstakingly for the next international Special Olympics as a figure skater and won a gold medal at that event. So this was an individual that was sought after. She did a commercial with Bruce Jenner at the time, the Olympic decathlon former champion, who now, of course, is not Bruce Jenner anymore. He's made the transition to the female world, but still is a knowledgeable and interesting spokesperson for various causes. But the bottom line is, she got letters from Eunice Shriver Kennedy, of course, the sister of former President John F. Kennedy, who is the International Special Olympics coordinator. I mean, she had a lot of recognition. And then tragically, at 20 years old, inexplicably, apparently had some kind of heart problem and was discovered no longer living. And the emotional toll that took on everyone was indescribable. But I was asked to deliver her eulogy at this massive mass in the cathedral downtown in Memphis. The crowd was overflow. They had speakers even outside. I mean, literally thousands of people were there. And I had the delightful, and you talk about a spiritual experience. And I say delightful in the fact that the hardest thing I was ever asked to do became a real blessing for me, because I'm telling you, folks, about 2 days before the funeral, I actually had a spiritual experience, and I assume it was Holly herself who sent me this assuredness in my sleep, saying, "It's all right. This is all part of the plan. I was needed elsewhere. And, you know, here's what I'd like you to tell all of my family and friends that I love so much." And I got up about 5 o'clock in the morning after that experience. I sat down. I wrote out my remarks pretty much exactly as if she was moving the pen herself. And it was an assignment from the heavens, really, to do that. And I stood before the crowd. I was not nervous. I was not distracted. I was there to perform a necessary message from beyond. And if this sounds bizarre to people, or if you don't believe it, it's fine. I know it could be a product of my own internal conflict and strife at that time of what am I going to say and how am I going to do this? But it was an experience that I'll never forget. And one of the priests came over, and there were so many people touched by her passing. There were like 7 different priests conducting this massive ceremony. And the guy came over and said, "That was just beautifully done." And I said, I told him about my experience, and he said, "Well, a lot of us have experienced that. That's heavenly providence. You were directed on what to say, and given the demeanor and the calm and the effectiveness to be able to do that." And I've carried that with me ever since. Now, that was a long rambling to kind of get us back to the present day. I had never been asked to perform a wedding ceremony before. I don't have any religious certification. I'm certainly not a holy man. I am highly spiritual, but I'm not really a practicing every Sunday church-going individual. But I have a strong faith. And the assignment was such an honor to be asked that, you know, and it's back in March. So you think, well, November, that's a long way off. Well, like it got here in a hurry, and all of it was upon me. And it was such a wonderful thing. It was a glorious, and you can look out the last 4 or 5 days here in the Birmingham area to be held outside. There was about 175 people present, a lot of beloved family that I had not seen for a very long time. My wife and I had divorced in 2002, and suddenly looking up, that 21 years ago, it didn't dawn on me. And her very large extended family, who a lot of the people I was very close with, I have not had much contact other than social media and some other things. So basically, it was a reunion. It was wonderful. It was festive. It was really a unique opportunity, because I had not been to a huge family wedding in a long time, and this was a reminder. And maybe it's just the station of life that I've arrived at, but this was multi-generational. I mean, there were people from 3 to 93 at this event. Spanning so many generations of people that have just come on board, or just beginning their lives, or have lived into elderly territory, and even way beyond that. So it was an amazing perspective. I was asked to talk But what I really wanted to do was observe and listen a lot this weekend. And so that's what I did, other than the parts where it was my gig to carry the show. But anyway, that was the longest intro to what I was starting to say. I got this message this morning from someone who has been a Facebook contact, but never has commented or liked or, really interacted with me on social media in any way. But it was a younger relative by marriage from my former wife's side of the family. And let me just add, my ex-wife, who's remarried to a wonderful guy named Gary, and they were house guests of ours this weekend. My wife and I, at this point, 21 years after our divorce, which is an inexplicable set of circumstances, you can read about it in my book, What Does George Clooney Have That I Ain't Got?, which is on sale now on Amazon, by the way. Just a little side plug, but I wrote an autobiography back in 2014 and had a fun time doing it. But Kathy and I are on great friend ground now, and we know that we got together and created two miraculous human beings that are just doing great things and are fantastic young men. And that joint accomplishment of ours completely overrules any kind of consternation or issue we had with one another. And it's really the biggest regret of my life that we didn't fight through that and stay together. But she's doing very well, and our relationship couldn't be better. But this person's from her extended family sent me a note today, and it really touched my heart, because he was saying how much he enjoyed what I had to say at the ceremony. He went on to talk about always reading things that I write and listening to some of my shows. And I've been blessed with the opportunity to work with amazing people like Tony Curry and Terry Quillian and all the folks in radio and television that I'm able to interact with, and have an opportunity to have this kind of stage with great people like you listening now to express my views and talk about things. And the last line of this this note today that was so uplifting to me was, it must be wonderful or terrifying to be such an influencer. And, you know, I've heard the term influencer. I never really have digested it or thought about it. Kip Kiefer is an influencer. That's really something that I had not considered myself before. I guess, you know, of course, it's easy to define influencer as someone who influences people. I have to tell you, I don't think in the things I do, that's really my intent. I like to inform. Most of all, I like to entertain, but I also like to create maybe perspectives and angles to things, looking at things a little differently. And I think maybe the best definition of that, and I've used it on this show before, is just taking everything in and kind of breaking it down by using common sense. You can usually solve any dilemma or work through any puzzle, or, you know, make sense of things that seem impossible to unravel by applying just basic common sense. So that's what I try to do, not again to be an influencer, but more to, you know, get a grasp on everything myself and hopefully express those opinions to allow the others to do the same thing. But being stamped as an influencer was really something that prompted me to get up a little earlier, take a walk, enjoy just a glorious day, and be glad to be part of this earth at this point. I've always would probably have associated the term influencer with, elder statesmen, and I don't think of myself that way. My birth certificate might suggest otherwise, but I really do not consider myself you know, an elder statesman at this point. Yes, I've acquired some knowledge. I guess just by default, that would constitute me having some wisdom. But again, the being tagged as an influencer kind of just staggered me today and has made me very full of perspective. And that's why you're getting this big dose of kind of Kip Kiefer personal thoughts today. What did I say at the wedding? Well, they wanted a ceremony that was not of real religious constitution. They wanted more of a celebratory kind of a joyous message. And I was happy to provide that. I talked about the unbelievably glorious day for such a perfect day for a perfect union between two extraordinary young people. I talked about my nephew, Nick, as my son stood alongside as his best man, lifelong friends and influencers of one another in the most positive way. I talked about their families, our extended families. And then I switched when I talked about Nick being such a wonderful young man and a great achiever in everything he's done, a superstar athlete, is doing amazing things in his professional career, a super achiever. And then I shifted over to his bride-to-be, Megan, and I introduced her as and speaking of super achievements, look who he's standing next to, getting ready to exchange vows with. And talked about Megan and talked about the miracle of the everybody's once upon a time story of intersecting on that road with the person that you know is the one. And that feeling is like nothing else, because you encounter plenty of people and you feel feelings for all of them, you know, whoever you might interact with, and you make your assessments. But when the one comes along, your life partner, the person that you know you're destined to be with, I used a phrase that I picked up somewhere many, many years ago, that yes, you realize that you're in love with that person, but the difference is you realize how much you love yourself when you're with, you can't let get away. About all of us learn from the earliest days that 1 + 1 = 2, but we also find out that there's a lot more to that, because the arithmetic of love means 1 + 1 = everything. Everything that you can potentially gain in life, your happiness, your fulfillment, and it unlocks the door to the biggest thing that that arithmetic adds up to, and that is unlimited possibilities. All possibilities are open then, because that allows you to build a life with someone and create something, a legacy for your life, and a something you leave the world a better place than you found it. So that was the gist of the ceremony, basically. Then I got into the compulsory parts of making them make their attests to each other, saying I do, the ring ceremony, and so forth. And then the party started, and it was spectacular, because I, again, walked around and observed people. I kind of listened into some conversations, certainly participated in a lot of them, but I have so much more hope for humanity by seeing that so many traditional things that I have been used to in my lifetime, and I know many, many generations before us, a lot of those things still exist in that state of celebration and joy for the union of two extraordinary people that everybody there understands are going to do remarkable things. And it was very, very encouraging to me. I take my new responsibility that I've been dubbed with this morning as an influencer very seriously. I will accept the nomination to be an influencer, and I will think carefully of everything that I say and do if people are actually being influenced by my thoughts and actions. You know, I think there's a lot of negative influences out there. You see people in the street now rioting and protesting, supporting a terrorist group, because basically influencers that are using the forum that they have, which is mostly social media, Instagram and TikTok, has been bombarding our young people for a long time with images of horrific atrocities that they're blaming on Israelis that are befalling the Palestinian people. And a lot of that is imagery just to create anti-Semitism and hatred for a race of people. The other part of that is because Israel faced with a lot of the same progressive movement that we all have had to experience, and really the whole globalist movement that Americans have it too good. We're a bunch of fat cats. We need to be good global citizens and stop being so selfish. Basically, stop being the superpower, stop being the most achieving country in the world, and share our resources and all of our might and wealth with the rest of the world. All that's good in concept, but that's the, so much of the rest of the world is not really looking for everybody to be in a shared experience. There is hate, there is evil, there is beyond unthinkable of individuals capable of atrocity. It is not as cut and dried as everybody joining in and joining hands and being one united world. America's best contribution to the world is to stay strong, to stay independent, and to stay the most successful and most admired country on earth. That's the path we need to take. And a lot of people, because Israeli voters were kind of in that same mode a couple of years ago, a lot of leftist progressives got into office there and immediately started changing all the rules and changing the fabric of what Israel, like America, freedom is founded upon. And the voters summarily rejected by about a 70% margin, basically threw all those people out of office a couple of years ago, reestablished their strong traditional conservative government. And a lot of the academics and people around the world are lashing out and really speaking ill of Israel and the Jewish people, and even willing to support murderers and terrorists like Hamas, who killed 1,400 innocent Israelis in their own homes in invading, marauding style that is reminiscent of the 12th or 13th century of these people just ravaging the countryside and killing people and murdering babies and raping little girls for just to act out this hatred and venom. And for anybody to be in the streets supporting this is absolutely disgusting. So again, I have no Islamophobia. I have no pro-Jewish feelings. I just want people to live their lives and flourish the best they can, to have the most full life they can. And after witnessing this past weekend of all the smiling faces and enthusiasm and joy that humans are capable of, that's what every day on this earth should constitute. And that's kind of the final line today. As an influencer, if I can influence your thinking one iota today, I want you to approach each day to the best of your ability to get the most out of it. Love people, respect people, listen to others, and just celebrate the time we have here, because all of this vitriol and conflict is a really sad state of affairs for the way human beings conduct their lives. Let's all see if we can toe the line. Just do one nice thing for somebody today, a random act of kindness, and everybody maybe in a dream world would pay that forward and be influenced by that, because I can't think of anything that any of us could accomplish today that would be more beneficial. I'm Kip Kiefer. That's Need to Know this week. Hopefully some of those thoughts or ideas hit home. We will be back next week. I'm always honored to have you on TKR and all of our different broadcast platforms. Don't forget, Tony and I will team up again this week for another Kiefer and Curry. We always have great subjects to talk about that I think you all are enjoying. And 10:30 Saturday morning, ABC 3340, I get to team up with Tone again on the starting lineup. And we've got a great cast and crew of people that bring you a preview of college football and a lot of special surprises. You never know, once again, what you're going to get around here. I'm Kip Kiefer. Have a wonderful, blessed, glorious week. Kip Kiefer, your influencer. I don't know if I still fit that label. Signing off.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.